Well, an announcement from Dublin the other day, the Irish government said we're going to be celebrating the year of the Normans. That's next year. Well, sorry, 2 years from now, 2027. And not because it's probably the 1,000th anniversary of William the Conqueror's birth. We don't know when he was born. He never even came to Ireland anyway. But it's also 850 years since the Normans came to Ireland to Richard Fitzclare. Is that right? Richard de Clare Fitz, whoever he was. Strongbow was his nickname. The Earl of Pembroke. Pembroke, that town in Great Britain. So Ireland, we've got Norman heritage. That's definitely the case. And that's contributed to who we are today. Now, of course, the ultra-nationalist headbangers in Sinn Féin, well, they're Euro-nationalists, not Irish nationalists anymore. They're saying, oh, no, this is bad, it's offensive. Everything is offensive apart from them celebrating their crimes against the people of Ireland and Great Britain. Saying that it's bad, they've got Norman heritage, is a bit like saying, I wouldn't be born that way if I were you. But we were, that history shouldn't have happened. But it has. And how are we going to deal now that's happened? Now, there'll be good things and bad things about it. What do they bring us? Stirrups, the abolition of slavery, and a bit complicated. Ireland, were we even one country at that time? Is debatable. Okay, we had a high king. We had petty kings, near constant warfare between us, partly because there was no royal dynasty. There was elected kingship, elected amongst the royal family, not primogeniture. In a sense, an elected kingship was good because one of the leadership qualities tend to come out on top. But it did mean we were plunged into civil war very often. And because there was no one set high king of Ireland or one family, there was a free-for-all between them quite regularly, which enfeebled us. Of course, we had a large Danish community and some, can we say Gaelic rather than Irish, chieftains would take the side of the Danes against other Gaels, enlisting outside help and stuff like that. So another point is that when the Normans came over Ireland, we were not united. We're not independent entirely because some of it was ruled by Danes or Denmark. And there had been kingdoms which spanned the Irish Sea before. There was no concept of England and Scotland and Wales till much later. There was of Ireland because, of course, we've been an island for over 6,000 years. And that's another point. Ireland, we've been inhabited for over 10,000 years. And for roughly 6,000 that we've actually been an island. And that's so important to the liquidity of Ireland. Likewise, Great Britain has only been an island for about 6,000 years, but been inhabited far longer than that. When did Ireland achieve reification? Well, the first person set foot on what's now Ireland, was Ireland a country from that point or not? Did the Irish nation come into existence at that point or not? Is very questionable. But coming back to 12th century Ireland, and obviously there were some Danish speakers, the thing is, point, we weren't Catholic. St. Patrick did not come under the authority of the Pope. That's a medieval invention because there was no Catholic Church. There was just the Church, the universal Church. There was no schism till 1054 between Eastern and Western Christianity. So there were patriarchs of Antioch or Constantinople, and they had a much authority over Ireland as the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, who was patriarch of the West. But then he claimed to be superior in 1054. And that was after St. Patrick's time. And of course, but we weren't obeying the Pope in the 12th century, until the Normans brought that. And then Catholicism became crucial to Irish identity after the Reformation, after sort of the 1530s. And some people say, oh, well, if you're Catholic, you're really Irish. Protestants aren't properly Irish and so forth. But anyway, the Normans, they changed our laws. We dropped the Brehon Law. In the early 20th century, a separatist suggests we bring it back in Southern Ireland. Well, that never happened. New types of Norman architecture and so on. Bringing rabbits, we didn't have those, bringing hedgerows to divide up the fields. We were a semi-nomadic people going around with herds of cattle, lowing cattle, being a standard image of Irish poetry. So they founded many of our towns. They were fantastic builders. There are very few buildings from pre-Norman Ireland. Carrickfergus Castle still stands today, Kilkenny Castle, Dublin Castle, St. Patrick's Cathedral, and Strongbow. Is he buried in that one at Christchurch? I can't remember. Kildare, Athlone, and so on. They're all founded by them. So they had a tremendous impact on us. And yes, there was fighting, and yes, people got killed. So not very, very good, those who got killed. There was fighting in Ireland anyway. It's partly, they're helping Dermot McMurrough against Rory O'Connor, when he'd run off with that Derva Gilla at the other bloke's wife. And then he'd been driven out of Leinster, Dermot McMurrough, King of Leinster. Then he comes back with Strongbow's help. And then eventually, there's 1171, the Treaty of, is it 1171? Then Henry II came over because, of course, the Earl of Pembroke, his overlord, is Henry II, King of Ireland, sorry, King of England at that stage, overlord of Wales. Henry II recognized as Lord of Ireland, and Pope Adrian IV, by his, my goodness, what's that? Laudabilita, like praiseworthily, it begins. That papal bull, he granted Henry II authority to establish control of Ireland and bring us back to Catholicism. We'd not really been Catholic before, to start paying Peter's pence. That collection refers that the last Sunday in June, the money goes straight to Rome, as in St. Peter, and that we would say Mass in Latin. They would have clerical celibacy. The monk's tonsure would change. The date of Easter would change in accordance with Roman Catholic practice, and all this happened. So it doesn't suit some people to recognize that the reason most Irish people are Catholics is because of the Normans and because of, well, King Henry II, the King of England. Now, I know Catholicism is not central to Irish identity as it used to be, and of course you can be Irish if you're not Catholic, if you're Protestant or Jewish or Hindu or Muslim. I recognize that, but some bigots don't. And so many of us have Norman ancestry. I mean, I almost certainly do, looking at the surnames of my family. It would make no difference to my views whatsoever if I found I had no Norman ancestry whatsoever. But Lynch is Griffith. I mean, all of these are sort of Cambro-Norman. Walsh, as in Welsh. A Power was de la Poer. Joyce, as in Joyeux, happy in French. Butler, Burke, and so forth. All the Fitzes, because that means illegitimate son of. I'm very glad the concept of illegitimacy has been abolished, but let me see, Fitzpatrick, Fitzgerald. Are there any other Fitzes in Ireland? And so on. So, fascinatingly, that those Fine Gael TDs are more likely to have Gaelic surnames than Fine Gael TDs. And so people then conflated Gaelic with Irish in the 19th century, the Gaelic Athletic Association and the Gaelic League, because the Gaels, they were one of the peoples who invaded Ireland in the Dark Ages, and they're not the original people of Ireland. So the Irish language is really Gaelic, Gaeilge, and it's not the original language. The other Celtic languages prior to that, the others are completely lost. Now, the Irish language is important, it's certainly worth studying, of no objection to the signs being up everywhere, but it's not everything. That we've long had other languages in Ireland. So it's got the totemic status that it doesn't deserve. Okay, look at the tea sheet with Norman names. Well, Simon Harris, Garrett Fitzgerald, John A. Costello, or Costello, as some people pronounce it, and so on. So Strongbow came in 1169. And he was helping Dermot McMurrogh get back Leinster. So that Pope who granted the permission to King Henry II to establish control over Ireland, he was Nicholas Breakspear from St. Albans, England, the only ever English Pope, and so forth. So we know that McMurrogh died in 1171, his daughter Aoife having married a Strongbow. Goodness. So he's McMurrogh is calumniated in some Irish language accounts of things. Okay, so we can celebrate our links with Normandy. The Normans were renowned horsemen and soldiers, establishing control of Sicily and other places in Italy. It was often overlooked. So the Norman heritage spread over much of Western Europe at the time. And obviously, that Norman means Anglo-Norman. So the Normans came to England, they married the Anglo-Saxons. I mean, the English got over the Norman conquest a very long time ago. And I was thinking, in Ireland, why don't we as well? Of course, the Normans were invited in by the King of Leinster. And I know he only had authority over that eastern part of Ireland, not the whole of Ireland. But at the Synod of Cashel, our ecclesiastical leaders recognize Henry II's suzerainty, and the Treaty of Windsor, likewise, Rory O'Connor, the last High King of Ireland, recognized that he was a liege man of King Henry II. And actually, the High Kings of Ireland carried on for over a century after that. So we can celebrate our Norman heritage, and that is about shows our maturity, wisdom, and intelligence. And I wish we could say that same about English, Welsh, Scots. I see these St. Patrick's Day parades, people carrying the tricolour, fine. But they should carry the Scots saltire, yeah. They should carry the cross of St. George too. They should carry the British flag too. And I know and St. George is for England, the British flag is for the United Kingdom, because that is the identity of some Irish people. We celebrate our liens with Scotland, good. Why not with England too? and with the United Kingdom as a whole. And obviously Ireland and the United Kingdom, overlap. So Ireland is British. Say it loud and say it proud.